Psalm 121:5. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. Psalm 125:5. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. Psalm 121:5. Psalm 66:8-9. Bless our God, O people, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. Psalm 66:8-9. Bless our God, O people, and send his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. Psalm 66:8-9. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We're opening our Bibles today to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 24. Before we begin our study, we spend a few moments in prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that you are with us. You promised us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You promised that you would be with us even unto the end of the world. Father, we appreciate the fact that we have opportunity now to focus our attention upon the eternal word of God. We realize that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility again today to turn our attention away from the various distractions of the world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. We thank you for your grace, for your blessings. We pray today for those of our church family who may be having difficulties and problems, those who are bereaved, those whose hearts are heavy. We pray for their comfort. We realize that we're living in a time of difficulty. This is a challenging time for us, and we thank you for the opportunities which is ours now to present your word in a different fashion. We pray for our church family that they may be perceptive and desirous to receive the communication of your word on a consistent basis. We thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're looking at the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 24, which says, "And it will happen before they call, I will answer. While they still are talking, I will hear." Very interesting passage indeed. Isaiah 65, verse 25 says, "Wolf and lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like cattle, and the serpent dust will be their food. No evil will be done on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." That is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 24 and 25. Today we're giving consideration to the subject of the millennium. We're looking at the millennium from the standpoint of millennium facts, millennium life, and we are looking at various passages of Scripture related to the fact that the various things will take place in a period of time. We understand that the Word of God presents the fact that the timeline is such an interesting time. We have an emphasis in the Scripture on the age of the Gentiles, the age of grace, the church age. We have an emphasis upon the time of the tribulation, the conclusion of the age of Israel, and then the magnificent time known as the millennium. We're going to look today at the Scriptures related to the millennium. We understand that there are a lot of Scriptures related to the things that will be taking place. We've analyzed in previous sessions the book of Daniel. There are so many magnificent truths in the book of Daniel related to the millennium and the first part of the millennium. We've taken a look at the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and we've seen the various events that will take place in the first 75 days of the millennium, where there will be a change and a continuation of the sweeping and the cleansing and the preparation for the millennium, and the unique verses that are listed in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we've taken a look at that in the past sessions. What we want to do today is to take a look at millennial life. And I'm going to give you some information in relationship to things that will be taking place for us during the time that you and I will enjoy coming back to the earth with our Lord for the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we're going to put down some points, and I will just see if you can take these down. Number one, the millennium is the future 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to get some facts related to the millennium, more facts later, but now just in some emphasis in relationship to millennial life. Number one, the millennium is the future 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the years, we have given emphasis on the timeline. We've looked at the age of grace. We see the age of the Gentiles. We understand some things in relationship to the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Beginning with chapter 12 of Genesis, we've seen the fact that Abraham came on the scene, and that's the beginning of the age of Israel. We've analyzed this many times over the years, and so all I'm trying to do now is just to point out some facts for you to remember. But beginning with the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find an emphasis upon the leadership, God's hand upon the man Abraham, and the fact that God's purpose and design for Israel was to be the communicators of the message. And all of us are aware of the fact that there was a failure there. As a result of their failure, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, the church age came on the scene, and you and I now are living in the magnificent time between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the body of Christ on the other hand, the time called the church age. Most of us have been aware of the fact that the next event that can take place for us in this church age is the rapture of the family of God, which is known as the resurrection of the body of Christ. We call that the rapture. We do not know just exactly when that's going to take place, but the scripture reveals that there's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which remain in our lives shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we have magnificent and wonderful promises related to the fact that there's coming a day when you and I, as born-again believers, will be leaving this life by means of the resurrection of the body of Christ, referred to in the scripture, not in words that were presented there, but the emphasis is there, and that is the taking up or the rapture of the saints of God. At the time that the rapture takes place, we are aware of the fact that there will be the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel with the 7 years of tribulation. We've been analyzing that over the past weeks and months and actually years. And we understand that during that time, there will be some things taking place on the earth. There will be things taking place in heaven. We will be taken out in the rapture. And at that time, there will be some things taking place in heaven. There will be the judgment seat of Christ, which is not in relationship to individual salvation, but in relationship to individuals' awards or rewards. There will be also known as the marriage of the Lamb. We all are understanding that. We've had that emphasized in recent days very vividly to us. And this is a beautiful picture where the scripture says that there will be the marriage of the Lamb. And I emphasize again that there is an emphasis on the marriage of the Lamb. We find, I believe, that the Heavenly Father will be the one performing that ceremony. There were some unique things that the scripture reveals that will take place at that time. The judgment seat of Christ, the cleansing and rewards of the believers, and then the marriage of the Lamb. We have an emphasis in the scripture on the fact that on the earth at that time, there will be some things taking place, and we've already referred to that in the services even today, and that is that there will be the 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years, the second 3.5 years, we referred to that. We've given you scriptures from the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and also chapter 12, and we discover that there will be some unique things taking place during that tribulation period. At the beginning of the tribulation, 144,000 converted, and they will become the evangelists of the tribulation period of time. We've emphasized in the past that there will be at least four waves of evangelism during that time. And there will be the evangelism of that 144,000. Those who are saved will be evangelists, so there's the evangelism of those individuals. There's also in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, the evangelism of two of the Old Testament characters. And there will be a lot of things taking place, and these are described for us in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. We all are aware of the fact that the magnificent time taking place for us will be that when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth at the end of the tribulation, He'll come back at the second advent, bringing His followers, His believers with Him. So I need to tell you some things about the millennium. Number one, we discover then that the millennium is the future thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have that on the screen, and if you can put that down as number one in your notes for the day. The millennium is the future thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, it will be a time of wonderful peace, joy, and blessing. According to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 7, and the scripture we read at the beginning here today. It will be a time of wonderful peace, a time of joy, a time of blessing. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1, 2, and 7. I have to tell you that you and I must think about this, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture will take us unto Himself. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in the book of 1 Thessalonians. The trumpet of the Lord will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us which remain and are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the scripture says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. These are beautiful verses, a challenge to all of us to be aware of the fact that any moment we could be taken out of here and we will be getting some new things. How wonderful that's going to be. The Lord's going to give us, I believe, an interim body for a period of time. And then there will be a time when we'll be the recipients of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. But anyway, at this point, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that the millennium, number one, again, is the future thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, and I repeat, it will be a time of wonderful peace, joy, and blessing, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1, 2, and 7. Number three, Jesus Christ will be the King of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of the world. This is presented to us beautifully in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus Christ will be the King of the world. Zechariah 14, 9. Jesus Christ, magnificently, marvelously, the wonderful Savior, will be the King of the world. Number four, and this is very powerful, and that is that our enemy, Satan, will be taken away from the earth and locked up so that he can no longer deceive us. This is uniquely presented to us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. I would encourage you to write somewhere in your notes or in the corner, stick it in the corner of your Bible. Our enemy, Satan, is going to be taken away from the earth and will be locked up so that he will no longer tempt and deceive us. What a wonderful day and magnificent day that's going to be. Let me read it to you in Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel coming down from God out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. I feel like what I need to do here is to spend a few moments and just present an exegetical study. Out there on the Isle of Patmos, John the Revelator, by the Spirit of God, saying, I saw an angel coming down from God out of heaven. When I see these words in the original language, I see a Greek word that all of us have seen many times, and it is the Greek word horao. Most of us who've studied over a period of time are aware of the fact that Greek word horao is a beautiful word indeed. We could classify it as the word horizon. The ability to see from one side all the way to the other side. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. Can you just imagine how beautiful and magnificent that experience was? We see John having this experience. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain on the hand of him, on his hand. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 says, he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent. Let's analyze those words for a few moments. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil. Are you noticing some names there for Satan? Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. It's interesting to see in the scripture how many different names apply to our enemy. This is just one of those examples in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Number four again in our note-taking, our enemy, Satan, will be taken away from the earth, locked up, so that he can no longer tempt and deceive us. Revelation chapter 20, I'm reading again verses 1 through 3. Verse 3 says, and cast him into the abyss and shut him down, sealed him over, in order that he should not deceive longer the nations. Number 4 again, our enemy, Satan, will be taken away from the earth, locked up, so that he can no longer tempt and deceive us. Number 5, dangerous animals like lions and leopards and wolves will become so peaceful that a little child shall lead them. This is a prediction found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. That's number 5. Number 6, the original creation, all animals, were vegetarians, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. This will be restored during the millennium. Meat-eating animals will become vegetarians, as they originally were. What we've read today and what we see from the scripture that lions will eat grass, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7. I think it's interesting for you to review number 5 again. Dangerous animals like lions and leopards and wolves will become so peaceful that a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11, 6. In the original creation, all animals were vegetarians, according to Genesis 1:30. This will be restored during the millennium. Meat-eating animals will become vegetarians, as they were. Lions will eat grass, as presented to us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7. It's all right. Wolves will live in peace with lambs. Lepers and baby goats and lions and calves, bears and cows will be peaceful together, according to Isaiah 11, 6 and 7. What's interesting is that the scripture reveals that there are some other things that we know about millennial life. Number 7, the scripture reveals that wolves will live in peace with lambs. Lepers and baby goats, lions and calves and bears and cows will be peaceful together. Again, I repeat, Isaiah 11, 6 and 7. Number 8, snakes will no longer be dangerous, even poisonous snakes. I found this so very interesting when it says babies will safely play near them. That makes me a little shaky, but I know that the scripture says that that will happen in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 8. Any kind of snake for me is a poisonous snake. And so I have to tell you that this is interesting. When I read in Isaiah 11, 8, that snakes will no longer be dangerous, even poisonous snakes. And that passage reveals that babies will safely play near them and no harm. Isaiah 11, verse 8. Number 9, animals will no longer hurt or destroy. Again, Isaiah 11, 9. There will be no bloodshed in nature. Number 10, we're talking about the life of the millennium. The scripture says the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. That's a beautiful passage indeed. The whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Number 11, Christ's followers will reign with him over the earth. Let's analyze that for a few seconds. Number 11, Christ's followers will reign with him over the earth. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will reign with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, over the earth. This is presented to us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 9. And also in chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. It's interesting to see that the millennium is going to be fantastic. All of us are aware of the fact that one of these days, you and I will be taken up from this earth. This is taking place at the rapture. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to the earth with his saints. And you and I will enjoy these things about which we're speaking now. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will reign with him over the earth. There are so many things that I've learned over the years about what will be taking place during that time. Some of those things are so far out that if I got into discussion with you, some of you might think that I'm a little off base. But I'm aware of the fact that the Scriptures reveal very vividly that there will be some responsibilities that you and I will have during that millennial time. And we'll have the responsibility to fulfill some responsibilities that the Lord will make assignments to us to accomplish. I'm not getting into any detail there right now, but maybe we will one of these days, because I feel like that there will be some interesting responsibilities that you and I will have during the millennium that the Lord will make assignments to us. Christ's followers will reign with him over the earth. According to Revelation 20, verses 4 through 9, and Revelation 5, 10. The last point here is number 12. We're talking about the life during the millennium. After the millennium, God will destroy the universe with fire in order to make way for a new creation. We don't really hear a whole lot about this, but I believe it's very vividly presented in the Word of God. After the millennium, God will destroy the universe with fire. For the purpose, in order to make way for a new creation, he will create for us new heavens and a new earth. When I go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, there's a presentation of a beautiful and wonderful place, as was the original paradise that God created for Adam and Eve and all humans, perhaps even better. And then I wrote myself a little note to ask you to think about it. Is that really possible? I'm taking this for granted. You've listened very well. And I have to say in closing that we're going to be looking next at millennial facts. The greatest thing that you and I have ever done in life, or the greatest thing that you and I could ever do in life, is to accept personally the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do it today. I do not know who all is listening to my voice at this time. I'm aware of the fact it could be a few, it could be dozens, it could be hundreds. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm so glad that I can tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. and that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man, willing to go to the cross and bear your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world. And He did that so that you would trust Him and that you would have everlasting, eternal life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad I can tell you that you could do that right now. If you've never done that, you could do that right now. I can tell you upon the authority of the Word of God that Jesus Christ loves you. And He was willing to die for you as well as for all of us. Jesus said, "I'm the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me." I'm so glad I can tell you, upon the authority of the Bible, the Word of God, that Jesus Christ loves you, and He will save you if you will trust Him. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. That's so factual. That is so real. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. How do you have the Son? You have the Son by accepting, by faith, what God has prepared for you through Jesus Christ, salvation. It's a gift of God. It's a gift to be received. It's a gift not to be worked for, paid for. You don't join the church to get it. Salvation is a gift to be received. Jesus said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." That's the reason why at the close of a service we take a few minutes to explain that, because it's so powerful, so important, so necessary. We do not know just who all is listening. Right now, the Spirit of God can be dealing with you and helping you to see that you need to be saved, and you can be saved if you will take just this few moments to pray and ask the Lord to save you. The Scripture is so real here because the Bible just simply says, "Whosoever," that means you, "shall call," that means a prayer, "upon the name of the Lord," that's Jesus Christ, "shall be saved." "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. Salvation is a gift from God, eternal life, just for you. You can have that today if you'll trust Him. My friend, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help you to make that right decision. The greatest decision you will ever make in life is to be made right now. Trust Him, will you please? Remember that the Bible says, "Whosoever," that means you, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. Says shall be. Father, we are aware of the fact that there may be some people just listening today. Some may be even for the first time. And they're hearing these words, and the Spirit of God is dealing with their lives. They're being aware of the fact that this is a decision that needs to be made. With all that's taking place in our world today, with all the strange events that are taking place, this could possibly be the very time when individuals need to realize that this is the point of time for the decision. No better time than right now to make the most important decision of life, and that's to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that there will be many who will do that now. And we thank You again and again for the fact that You're in the saving business. And that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said. Father, we thank you for that. And we pray that there will be those who will trust you now. And we give you praise and honor and glory for your grace blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing of his face.